As we are now in the month of Dhul Qa'dah, first of all, the merits of the month. Remember, this is one of the first Shahr al-Haram, the first prohibitory months to be mentioned in the Qur'an. And it is considered to be a period of acceptance of hajat, of wishes, and a release from hardships. In these months, any virtuous or righteous act carries a greater reward. And in the same way, even the smallest of sins has a greater consequence. It is recommended in the month of Dhul Qa'dah to fast on three consecutive days, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. And if you fast on Thursday, Friday and Saturday of Dhul Qa'dah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it carries the reward of 900 years of worship. Fasting on the 25th of this month is equivalent to 70 years of fasting. And maybe one of the best acts of ibadah is a four rakat salah, which is preferably recited on a Sunday of Dhul Qa'dah. Recited as a pair of two rakat salah. And in each rakat, after Surah Al-Fatiha, recite Surah Al-Ikhlas three times, that's Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and Surah Al-Falaq once, and Surah Al-Nas once. And once you've finished the salah, then 70 times say, Astaghfirullah was'alahu at-tawbah. I seek forgiveness of Allah, and I ask for tawbah, I ask for repentance. And then conclude it with, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim, Ya ghaffar, ighfir li dhunubi, wa dhunubu jameel mu'minina wal-mu'minat, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. There is no power or strength except that of Allah, the Most High, the Most Great. O One who covers up, O One who forgives, forgive my sins and the sins of all the mu'mineen and the mu'minat. Indeed, there is no one to forgive sins except you. And this salah carries innumerable rewards. It's an absolutely amazing, amazing salah. This is also a month when mu'mineen will prepare to go for Hajj, those who are able to go. And we will look at the different various aspects of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran in Ayah 97 says, when he's talking about Makkah, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Fihi ayatum bayinatum maqamu Ibrahim, in it are clear signs, the standing place of Ibrahim. وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا and whoever enters it shall be secure. And then he says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And the Hajj, the pilgrimage to the house, is incumbent upon human beings for the sake of Allah, upon everyone who is able to undertake the journey to it. In Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 27, he says, وَعَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَعْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَلَا قُلِّ ذَامِرٍ يَعْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيكٍ لِيَشْحَدُوا مَنَافِيَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. And proclaim amongst human beings the pilgrimage. They will come to you on foot and on every lean camel, coming with every remote path that they may witness advantages for them, and mention the name of Allah during the stated days. So many ahadith which talk about the rewards for Hajj. So maybe those who are still thinking, let me go over some of them. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, Al-Hajj wal-Umratu sukani min aswaqil akhirah. Hajj and Umrah are the two markets of the hereafter. Those who enter into them are the guests of Allah. If Allah preserves his guest's life, he will live free from sins. And if he makes him die, he will be admitted into Jannah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, the performers of Hajj and Umrah are the guests of Allah. If they ask, they will be given. If they pray, they will be answered. If they intercede, their intercession will be accepted. If they keep silent, they will be blessed. And they will be given 1,000,000 dirhams for each one that they have spent. A man came to Imam Qadim alayhi salam and Imam said, are you going on Hajj? And he said, yes. Imam says, do you know the rewards of Hajj? And he said, no. And Imam told him, whoever comes to Makkah, does the tawaf of the Kaaba, performs 2 rakats of salah, Allah will write 70,000 rewards for him and write off 70,000 of his wrongdoings. He will be elevated 7,000 scales. His intercession will be accepted for 70,000 families. Allah will fulfill 70,000 of his needs and write for him the reward of setting free 70,000 slaves worth 10,000 dirhams each. And look at the hadith for those who forsake Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Ali, one who forsakes Hajj while having the means to perform it does not believe. For Allah has said, and pilgrimage to the Hajj, to the house, is incumbent upon men for the sake of Allah, upon everyone who is able to undertake the journey. And whoever disbelieves, then surely Allah is self-sufficient above any needs of the world. Imam Sadiq says, he who dies before he performs the Hajj, while he was not needy, or not ill, or not persecuted to perform it, will die as one who does not believe. If you can go for Hajj, and you can't manage this year, then plan for next year. If you have the means, the istita'at, then we will look at each aspect of it. Imam Ali al-Islam says, Hajj and Umrah remove poverty. They cleanse sins. It's an amazing spiritual health farm, as I call it. And Imam Ridha al-Islam says, the benefits of Hajj cover both the East and the West. Those who perform the Hajj and those who do not, whether they're businessmen, shopkeepers or poor, people from all classes of societies are blessed with the benefits of Hajj. There are so many, and I'd like to go over all of them. But if you can go for Hajj, do so. Don't even delay it for a minute. And if you can't, raise your hands in dua to Him. Plead to Him that He allow you the opportunity to go for Hajj, inshallah, next year. And for those who are going, I'd like to end today with a conversation between Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Islam and Shibli. When Shibli came back from Hajj, and there was a dialogue between Imam and the returned Haji. Imam said, did you perform Hajj, Shibli? And he said, yes, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I did. Imam said, you stopped at Miqat, put off your sewn clothes and did ghusl, did you not? And he said, yes, I did. Imam said, when you stopped at Miqat, did you intend to put off the garment of disobedience to Allah and put on the garment of obedience? He said, no, I didn't. Imam said, when you took off your clothes, your sewn clothes, did you intend to get rid of hypocrisy, intrusion into suspicion matters, and ostentation? He said, no, I didn't. Imam said, when you did ghusl, did you intend to wash yourself from sins and offenses? And Shibli said, I didn't. And Imam says, in that case, you didn't really stop at Miqat. You didn't take off your sewn clothes and do ghusl. You washed yourself thoroughly, entered the state of ihram, and you intended to perform Hajj, did you not? And he said, yes, I did. And Imam said, when you entered the state of ihram and intended to perform Hajj, did you wash yourself thoroughly with pure repentance to Allah? He said, I didn't. When you entered the state of ihram, did you intend to abstain from every matter that Allah has made unlawful? He said, I didn't. Imam said, as you intended to perform Hajj, did you intend to get rid of any pledge that you took with anyone other than Allah? In other words, did you undertake to fulfill it? And he said, I didn't. Then Imam said, then you didn't do ghusl. You didn't enter ihram. Neither did you intend to perform the Hajj. Then Imam said, did you enter Miqat, offer the 2 rakats prayer for ihram and say labaik? And he said, yes. Imam said, when you entered Miqat, did you intend to meet all the qualifications of the visitation of the sacred house of Allah? He said, I didn't. He said, when you offered the 2 rakat salah, did you intend to seek nearness to Allah through the best deeds such as salah and the deeds by which servants of Allah can obtain rewards? He says, I didn't. When you said labaik, did you intend to utter any statement of obedience to Allah and keep your mouth closed against any statement of disobedience to Him? He said, I didn't. And Imam said, then you didn't enter Miqat. You didn't really offer the 2 rakat salah. Neither did you say labaik. And he said, Shibli, when you entered the sacred precinct and saw the Kaaba and you offered salah there, did you do all that? And he said, yes, I did. And Imam said, when you entered the sacred precinct, did you intend to abstain from backbiting any individual of Islam? He said, I didn't. Imam said, when you arrived in Makkah, did you intend to direct towards Allah and no one else? He said, I didn't. Then Imam said, you didn't really enter the Haram, nor did you see the Kaaba, nor did you offer prayers. Then he said, Shibli, you did tawaf. You touched the corners and you did sa'i, didn't you? And he said, yes. Imam said, when you did sa'i, did you intend to seek refuge of Allah from the trickeries of shaitan and evil temptations? He said, no. He said, Shibli, when you did tawaf and touched the black stone, did you know that you were shaking hands with Allah? Then Imam, crying loudly, said, "Don't ever waste the reward for the things that are so sacred. So sacred. Shibli, when you stopped at the standing place of Ibrahim, did you intend to stop at every act of obedience to Allah and leave every act of disobedience?" He said, "I didn't." Imam said, "When you offered the 2 rakats salah, did you intend to offer the same salah that was offered by Ibrahim and to disappoint shaitan?" He said, "I didn't." And Imam said, "In that case, you didn't really touch the black stone. You didn't stop at the standing place of Ibrahim or pray salah. Shibli, when you came near to the well of Zamzam, did you drink of its water?" He said, "Yes, I did." And Imam said, "When you came, did you intend to come near to acts of obedience and cast your sight down to acts of disobedience?" He said, "I didn't." And Imam said, "You didn't come near the well, nor did you drink from its water." Then he said, "Shibli, when you saw the mountains of Safa and Marwa, did you intend to be between hope and fear of God?" He said, "I didn't." Then Imam said, "You didn't really walk or frequent between Safa and Marwa. You then left for Mina, didn't you?" And he said, "Yes." Imam said, "Did you intend to save people from your tongue, from your heart, and from your hands? In other words, with your words and your ill intentions and your deeds?" And he said, "No, I didn't." And Imam said, "You didn't really leave Makkah. You stopped in Arafat. You went to Jabal al-Rahma. You recognized the valley of Namira, and you did dua to Allah at Jamarat, did you not?" And he said, "Yes, I did." Imam said, "When you stopped at Arafah, did you intend to recognize Allah and His knowledge, and recognize that He is holding on the records of your deeds, and that He knows fully your hidden secrets?" He said, "I didn't." Imam said, "When you went to Jabal al-Rahma, the mountain of Rahma, did you recognize that Allah would have mercy upon every believing man and woman, and to see every Muslim male and female?" He said, "I didn't." "And when you went to Namira, did you recognize that your advices and warnings to people are fruitless unless they originate from the instructions of Allah?" And he said, "I didn't." Imam said, "As you stopped at Al-Alam and Al-Namirat, did you recognize that these signs would testify for your acts of obedience and would keep you like the recording angels?" He said, "No, I didn't." Imam says, "Then you didn't really stop at Arafah. Neither did you go to Jabal al-Rahma. Neither did you do dua at Namira. You passed by the 2 signs? Did you offer 2 rakat salah when you walked in Muzdalifah? Did you pick up pebbles? Did you pass by Mashal al-Haram?" And he said, "Yes." Imam said, "When you offered your salah, did you intend it to be thanksgiving that saves from every hardship and alleviates all difficulties?" He said, "I didn't." Imam said, "As you walked between the 2 signs without turning to right or left, did you intend not to turn away from the right religious with heart, tongue, or other organs?" He says, "I didn't." Imam says, "As you walked in Muzdalifah and you picked up pebbles, did you intend to get rid of every act of disobedience and every item of ignorance and to fix in your behavior every item of knowledge and good deeds? And when you passed by Mashar al-Haram, did you carry in hearts the slogan of the pious people and the God-fearing ones?" He said, "I didn't." Imam said, "Then you didn't really do any of those things." Then Imam told him, "You reached Mina, you threw pebbles, you had your hair cut, you slaughtered an animal, a sacrifice. You offered prayers in Masjid al-Khif, you returned to Makkah, and you performed the Tawaf al-Nisa, did you not?" And he said, "Yes, I did." Imam says, "When you arrived in Mina and threw the pebbles, did you feel that you achieved your aim and that your Lord, your Rabb, would settle your needs?" He said, "No." Imam said, "When you threw the pebbles, did you intend to stone Iblis and challenge him through your Hajj?" He said, "No." Imam said, "When you shaved your head, did you intend to purify yourself from all the filth and liabilities of people that lie on your shoulder and to get rid of sins as if your mom had just given birth to you?" He said, "I didn't." Imam said, "When you offered salah in Masjid al-Khif, did you intend that you would never fear anything except Allah and the responsibilities of your past sins and that you would hope for nothing except the mercy of Allah? When you slaughtered the sacrificial animal, did you intend to cut off the throat of greed by clinging to the reality of piety and to follow the exemplary tradition of Ibrahim when he intended to slaughter his dear son?" "No, I didn't." "When you returned to Makkah and you did the tawaf, did you intend to supply yourself with Allah's mercy, return to the obedience to Him, cling to His love, perform all His precepts and seek nearness to Him?" He said, "I didn't." Imam said, "Then you didn't do that. Shibli, go back, because you did not perform Hajj." When Shibli heard these words, he wept. And he made an intention there and then to perform Hajj as Imam alayhi salam had instructed him. And he did. Inshallah, we will be looking at the other instructions for Hajj this time by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam tomorrow. And we will also look at the analogy between the life of the human being and the different rites of Hajj as the weeks go on.